This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome once again to another international telecast of the Armor of God program. It's good to be here with you today, and I'm excited about today's topic that I want to talk about today with you. Now, the topic I want to talk about has to do with a certain season, a season of which we are all familiar with. Perhaps we have great, wonderful childhood memories of this season. The season I want to talk about is Halloween. I want to get right into the subject today. Halloween. Whether or not Christians should partake in Halloween and bobbing for apples and going trick-or-treating and dressing up in various types of costumes. And there is no shortage of debates among Christendom whether or not this is a season of which we ought to be involved in. I mean, when you consider it, what does jack-o'-lanterns have to do with Jesus Christ? What do jack-o'-lanterns have to do with promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel of salvation? Absolutely nothing. But before I get into some of those topics, let me interrupt myself because I want to have time today to get into the scriptures and introduce you today to our offerings. Now, we want to make these offerings to you completely free of charge. We will not solicit you for money. We won't call you later on asking you for checks. We won't hound you or harass you. It is absolutely free of charge, made possible through the contributors of the Armor of God program and dedicated members of the Church of God International through their tithes and offerings. What I want to make available to you today, completely free of charge, is a double CD set surrounding the topic of Halloween. Now, these CDs are going to get very detailed where I can't because of time constraints. It's going to get into the origins of Halloween. It's going to get into answering the question more profoundly of whether or not we should keep the day, observe the day, and whether or not we should not partake in it. The first CD is simply titled Satan's Tabernacle. Satan's Tabernacle. The second CD we'd like to make available to you today is called Halloween, The Real Story. And there is a real story behind the day of Halloween, friends, that perhaps will astonish you when you get into the study and consider really what is behind the truth and really goes a long way to answer the question, is it really harmless fun? I think you'll be able to answer the question for yourself once you get these free items and really get into them and start studying them. You can get these two CDs completely free of charge by calling our telephone number at 888, that's 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. To those of you who may be internet savvy, we also can be found on the World Wide Web, www.cgi.org. Once again, that's www.cgi.org. Also, we have available to you is every Saturday, we have a webcast. A webcast every Saturday, and you get the times on the internet. So please take some time, go to www.cgi.org and check out those CDs we have to offer and also the webcast if you might be interested in that. Let's get back to the topic. The season of Halloween is rooted in controversy in the Christian church. How did it become Christian to begin with? I mean, when you consider some of the images surrounding Halloween and that we associate in our mind regarding Halloween, what in the world do they have to do with Christianity at all? Let's consider some of these things. Jack-o'-lanterns. Some people have contests who have the scariest jack-o'-lantern face on their block. Spend hours, and some of these people are really artistic in what they do, and you should see how intricate some of these things get, but what does jack-o'-lanterns have to do with Christ? And how do we inculcate that into Christianity if, in fact, it should be? Here's another thing that we should consider. Displays of cemeteries, disturbing animatronics placed on front porches. You've seen some of them. Those robotics, the robotics that you can buy at any hardware store leading up to the season of Halloween, of Frankenstein, what does Frankenstein, he's got the bolts in the side of his neck and the green face and the black hair and the scar across his face, what does he have to do with Christianity? What does he have to do, the character that is of Frankenstein, to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ? How about Dracula? You know, the big fang-tooth vampire that walks around, part of the undead, chasing down hapless victims and turning them into the undead. What does he have to do with the promotion of Christianity? Now, automatically, as I'm saying these things, these images are popping into your mind because you're quite familiar with them. And perhaps we never asked ourselves the question, never stopped to take the time to ask, why do we do the things we do? I mean, we're all human beings. We've all partaken in the season of Halloween at one point in our lives, just going through life in this ready-made world, never really considering the most important question that we could ask ourselves as Christians. The most important question that we could ask ourselves as Christians, friends, is, what does God think about this? What does God consider? I mean, to us, trick-or-treating is just, it's just harmless fun, right? We just take the kids out, we go door to door, they get candy, we go home, and what's the harm in that? Go to haunted houses and watch horror movies. I mean, what's the harm in all that? Well, as you'll see here, there is a deep, dark history behind Halloween. In order to get behind the mask of Halloween and what it's really about, we really need to look to the scriptures and to history to show us why we should or should not partake in this day. Now, if you would please take some time and turn over with me real quick to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll just read down here through chapter 4, verses 1. And we'll just go down through chapter 5 for time's sake. We won't read the whole chapter. But the Apostle Paul, writing to a young evangelist by the name of Timothy, writes this. He says, I charge you, therefore. And the Greek here, charge, means I protest. I earnestly protest here. I command you. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Now, why is this important? Why is the Apostle Paul reminding this young evangelist by the name of Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season? Well, that's because there were factions in the church that were departing from the truth. And we can prove that here through the scriptures just by reading down to the next couple lines here. For there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fictitious stories. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, when you consider the New Testament and its completion, when you consider the reasons why the New Testament was written, you study the scriptures and you realize that most of the New Testament scriptures would not have been written in the way that they've come down through us in history if there weren't people departing from the truth, departing from the gospel message, and turning aside to fables. In other words, controversy. Most of the New Testament letters written by the Apostle Paul addressed controversies and were used to correct issues in the church because people were departing from the faith. Where does Halloween come to play in all this? Well, God has his own seasons. And remember, if there is a God, and we believe that there is a God, that Creator reserves the right to say when and how and where and why we worship. It's his prerogative. It's his right as our Creator who sustains us, gives us life. It is his absolute right to tell us how he wants to be worshiped. And we have to ask ourselves naturally the question whether the things we partake in the Halloween season, do they please God? Or does he not appreciate the things that he's being associated with? The intermingling of some of these ancient beliefs into Christianity. Well, as you will see here through the CDs and through today's presentation, you'll see that God is not pleased with Halloween, and God is not the inventor of the Halloween season. In fact, there is one that is responsible for deceiving and counterfeiting and taking our eyes off of the prize and really getting us steeped in confusion and confused and covering up the truth of God and what he has planned for mankind. You know, God has his seasons. He has the seasons of his holy days. He has the spring and the fall. Take some time, if you would, please. And go back through your scriptures and read Leviticus chapter 23. In Leviticus chapter 23, you will see outlined God's annual holy days and his seasons that rightfully describes what he's doing with mankind, what his will is, and what this life is all about. I mean, why are we all here on this great big sphere, hurtling out in space, kind of suspending into nothingness? Why are we here? And what is God doing with all of us? And does Halloween have anything to do with that plan? What does it do to reveal the truth? Or is it simply just another distraction? Well, turn over, if you would, with me, please, if you have your scriptures available. If not, you might want to write these scriptures down and visit them at a later time and to go over these and really to look over them, because there is one out there, friends, who wants to do nothing than to confuse us, to get us off the track, to assign holy days and seasons that aren't really related to God, but assign them to God. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we read this, we read, "And you he made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, who were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Now, who is he writing this to? He's writing to Christians, acknowledging and admitting that they have spent their time in this world of deception. You know, the Bible describes the god of this world as none other than Satan the devil. He is none other than the great counterfeiter, the great liar, the great deceiver. And he has us to buy into things like Halloween that do nothing more than distract us from the truth of what God wants us to understand. And in fact, he is alive and he is well, and he is here to do nothing more than to take us away from the truth. And there is a vital truth that God wants us to know. Take some time. Go back over Leviticus chapter 23. Perhaps it's been some time since you've read that. But when you consider these things, what harm is it to trick or treat, to bob for apples, to dress up like mummies or Frankensteins, to take our kids door to door? I mean, isn't it just all harmless fun anyways? You know, this is the time of year, the Halloween season that we're talking about. You know, movie rentals are up by 20% during this time. 20%. And that 20% increase in the movie rental is due to the horror films. Horror films. Now, what's interesting about this is the horror films that are being rented by young adults on average of the age of 15. Young, impressionable minds. You know, we become desensitized to things over time. And to watch these kind of films that are really linked to the demonic and the macabre, our senses have become dulled to these things. It's really just not anything to us nowadays unless we stop to consider and ask ourselves whether or not we're doing the right thing. You know, it's interesting to note that when it comes to the merchant side of this, you know, the increase and the money that's involved in Halloween, I was absolutely surprised when I did the research on Halloween and realized that, you know, that Halloween is the second most celebrated holiday, not holy day, the holiday celebrated in America. Listen to this statistic. The statistic indicates that merchants love Halloween because it is roughly anywhere between a $4 to $6 billion industry. That's right. I didn't make a mistake there. A $4 to $6 billion industry, second only to Christmas. And yet you look at the associations and the images that are portrayed during the days leading up to Halloween and the season of Halloween, we come to realize that there is absolutely nothing Christian about Halloween at all. And in order to prove this, we have to do a study in history. Now, why is it important to study the history behind Halloween to consider not whether it's important? Well, let's consider some other things that the Apostle Paul wrote. Turn over with me, if you would please, to 2 Timothy here. 2 Timothy, Paul wrote a lot of good doctrine here to Timothy, as Timothy was a young kind of nervous evangelist, and Paul always had to encourage him because he was facing some self-inflicted adversity at some times. And the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, he writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter verses 1 through 5. You therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, you'll go through the scriptures here, friends, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, and narrow it down here even to the New Testament scriptures that we have now, and you will find absolutely no mention of Halloween whatsoever. So why do we keep it? And even though there's no mention of Halloween specifically, you do see some practices that Christians are told to stay away from that are highly associated with Halloween, and the apostles and Jesus Christ would never partake in. I mean, let's consider this for a second. How many of us would really consider Jesus Christ dressed up like Frankenstein? Do these images really, do they make sense? Would Jesus Christ really don costumes like Dracula, the werewolf, Frankenstein, the mummy? For what purpose? For what purpose? I mean, the scriptures indicate that Jesus Christ stood for the truth, and he worshiped his Father in spirit and in truth. He would not want to be associated with the days that mankind tends to associate Jesus Christ with. And he's not happy with that. The Apostle Paul continues here, and he says in verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to endure, to hold fast to the truth. You know, we are inundated and bombarded with every day of images that aren't good for us on the TV, from the radio, to the internet. Images that just are not good for us, friends. And we have to endure what is put before us, because Satan the devil, as the scriptures indicate, walks to and fro on the earth, and he walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And his whole goal is to deceive us, to get us off our game, to get us to trip, to get us to accept a Jesus Christ that just isn't preached in the scriptures. And he continues here. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned, unless he competes according to the rules. You know, I grew up under a misconception when it came to Christianity. I grew up being taught that Christianity was for weak people. As my dad said, Christianity is for the wimps of the world who need a reason to hide from reality, who really don't know what reality really is. And that's what was taught to me, that it was cowards, people without any backbones that kept Christianity and celebrated Jesus Christ the way that he demands to be celebrated. But you know what? Christianity is not for the weak or the faint of heart. This takes enduring. And the fact that the Apostle Paul here uses the word warfare and soldiers indicates, friends, that we are in a spiritual struggle daily. And the spiritual struggle that we're engaged in is won or lost simply by considering what God wants us to do. You know, to read the instruction book, to read the guidebook. You know, anything and everything that God wants us to know pertaining to life and salvation and what's good for us, He has put here in this instruction book from the book of Genesis to Revelation for our admonition, for our learning to show us what's good for us. And the fact of the matter is, the Bible does not uphold, nor does it honor witchcraft. Where do some of these things from Halloween come from? And why do we need to prove this? Over here again in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul continues here in verse 14 through 18. He says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightfully dividing the word of truth." And that's our responsibility, friends. As Christians, as one who has endeared themselves to Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior, it behooves us to get into the Scriptures and to prove what's right and what's wrong. There is a deep, dark history regarding Halloween. And the fact of the matter is, the conclusion, rather, is that Halloween has nothing to do with Christianity. But how is it presented? Isn't it presented as a day of nothing more than All Hallows' Eve? A day in which is celebrated as a Christian holiday, All Saints' Day? You've heard the stories, you've heard the history. But what's the truth behind of it? Is there a deeper history that we need to consider? Well, friends, there is a deeper history that we need to consider. And I do have some time that I can mention that to you here today. Not a whole lot of time, but just a little bit of time that we have, we are going to go over that. You see, Halloween predates Christianity. Back in the days of the Celtic tribes of Western Europe, Europeans, the French, you have the Irish, the Scottish, the Welsh, and of course the French, there was a priesthood, a pagan priesthood, who celebrated a false deity. His name is Samhain, or Samhain. He is also known as the god of the dead. He's also related to sun worship. It is a false deity. It seems innocent enough, right? Because what it's passed down to us as is nothing more than a harvest festival at the summer's end. Just a simple summer's harvest festival. Innocent, right? Nothing wrong with that. But the Celtic priests and the Druids, they practiced various forms of divinations and ceremonies on or around October 31st. And they did this to recognize the harvest festival and did so in honor to Mother Earth. And that's really where we get a lot of our associations to Halloween today. From bobbing for apples was a form of divination. And some of us may have grown up around the tradition of bonfires. I mean, what could really be so harmful about bonfires? Well, really bonfires is a shortened term. It's a shortened name to what it really started out as. Again, starting out as this Druidic pagan practice, it was also a form of divination. What would happen is these witches and these priests, they would take the weaker of the animals and of people, and they would throw them into this fire. They would sacrifice them to their false deities. And then the next morning, what they would do is they would get up, and they would pick up from the ashes some of these remaining bones out of the ashes, and they would actually use a form of divination with these bones. The original name for bonfires is actually bone fires. It's related directly to this ancient Druidic practice. So we start to see that these deep-rooted histories are nothing, they're not innocent. But you see, as time goes on, we become desensitized. We become unaware. History becomes blurred, so to speak, and really there's a lie that's taught out there that Jesus Christ offers us liberty to do whatever we want to, and that there is freedom to worship Him however we want to, whether or not it's done in truth or in spirit, or whether we intermingle pagan practices with Jesus Christ, associate His names with the likes of Frankenstein and the werewolf and the mummy. You know, interesting to note, that also regarding October 31st and the general season of Halloween, we have enough anecdotal testimony from people who used to be engaged in satanic worship, to witchcraft and have now supposedly converted themselves to Christ. Some of their testimonies regarding the things that are really involved with Halloween. And they themselves say that on the night of Halloween and the times leading up to Halloween, we ought to be praying. And we ought not be deceiving ourselves if we partake in these things, because whether we realize it or not, we are partaking in things that are considered abominations to God and actually directly linked to satanic worship and witchcraft. This is not me making this up. This is a matter of fact. It is logged and chronicled in various forms of documentaries on TV. The history of Halloween is well known. It is, even though it's embraced, it is not Christian, but somehow it's come down through history as being Christian. You know, during the time leading up to October, it was considered the time when the veil between the living and dead was the least veiled and the closest in which you could communicate to the dead, and the dead walked among us. But as time goes, I'm going to leave that for your curiosity and for your inspection for the literature and the offerings I'm going to make for you today. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to offer you a 2-CD set. The CD set is Satan's Tabernacle and Halloween, The Real Story. Please take advantage of the free offering and get it. Call us here at 888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. Or hit us up on the World Wide Web at www.cgi.org. And don't forget about that webcast every Saturday. Well, friends, time has escaped me, and I have to close out now, but take the offers, study them, and you'll get to the heart of the issue about Halloween and whether it's not harmless fun. Until then, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Tins Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.